This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala Nabi al-Kareem. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. Waqad qala Allah ta'ala fi Qur'an al-Majeed. Ba'd a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dhalika al-kitabu la rayba fi hudan lil-muttaqeen. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said that a shaitan will come to you and he will whisper to you and he will put into your heart questions. Questions like, who created this, who created that? Until shaitan will whisper into your heart the question, who created Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, when that question enters your heart, simply respond, I believe in Allah and His Messenger. What this hadith teaches us is that one of the plots of shaitan is to make people doubt the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's to make people doubt that Islam is a true religion. Shaitan puts these waswasas into the hearts of people, these thoughts and questions into the hearts of people that if we play on these thoughts, if we overthink them, if we allow them to grow, they can lead a person down the path of kufr, the path of disbelief. And the reality is that everybody at different points in their life, they deal with these kind of thoughts, some more than others. And in the culture that we live in, it's not just shaitan who's whispering these thoughts into the minds of people, but it is the dominant culture. It's the university professors, it's the stand-up comedians, it's the movies. All around us, they are these sources of doubt. People questioning the existence of Allah, people questioning the validity of the religion. And if you are not prepared to deal with these kind of things, they can be a real fitna for you. They can be a real test for you. So what I want to share with you today are a few steps that each and every one of us can use to help to deal with our own doubts internally. That should the shaitan ever put a waswasa into your heart about any of these issues, whether it's to do with Allah or His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the Quran or the Qadr or any of the other aspects of our faith. Should you have doubts about any of these things, these are some of the steps you can take to help overcome these doubts. Step number one is based on this hadith, where the Prophet ﷺ said that when shaitan puts that question into your heart, who created Allah, simply reply, I believe in Allah and His Messenger. Now what this hadith means is, do not entertain the doubt. That's what the hadith means. Don't entertain, don't overthink it. Because there are some things that cannot be answered in this world. There are some things that are beyond rationale, that are beyond science, that exist in another realm altogether. The human mind cannot comprehend, for example, the nature of Qadr. How does destiny work? How do we have free will and destiny at the same time? This is beyond human comprehension. We simply say we believe in it. It's the same with the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do our minds process the idea of who Allah is? How do our minds process the idea of paradise being eternal? These are things beyond human ability. We simply believe because Allah said we must believe. So the first thing to do when the shaitan puts a doubt into your mind is to never entertain that doubt and to say, I believe in Allah and His Messenger. The second step that everybody can take to deal with doubts about their faith is to build your faith upon a foundation of knowledge. One of the problems we have today is that many of us build our faith on shaky foundations. The foundation of our faith might be, I'm just following the religion of my forefathers. The foundation of your faith might be, I married a Muslim so I became a Muslim. Or the foundation of someone's faith might be that, my teacher looks like a pious person so this religion must be true. But then what happens when there's a disconnect between someone and their parents? What happens when the person who got married for the sake of, who became a Muslim for the sake of marriage ends up getting divorced? What happens if the person whose entire faith was based on their teacher learns about their teacher's sins and their private mistakes or their teacher messes up? Their faith is broken. So our faith should never be on these reasons. Our faith should come from knowledge. Our faith should come from knowledge. We should separate our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from our relationship with everybody else. Because people fail, people make mistakes, people fall, people commit sins. Allah is perfect. The followers of this religion are not. And so our faith should not be because of people, it should be because of Allah. And the way to build faith is to build a solid foundation of knowledge. And every Muslim owes it to themselves to study the basics of this religion. To study basic things like, how do I know the Quran is a miracle? What are the evidences for this? How do I know that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a true prophet? What are the evidences for this? Basic things like, what do we believe and why do we believe in it? See, no one's going to know everything. Right? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. But we all can know enough to have a solid foundation. So when the doubts come, they don't cause you to spiral out of control. Because you have a solid foundation that helps you to deal with the doubts. That helps you to deal with the doubts. So we said the first step is don't entertain the waswasa of shaitan. The second step is to build a solid foundation of knowledge. The third step is to build a solid foundation of worship. To build a solid foundation of worship. Because if your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is strong, then this can fight off any doubts that shaitan tries to put into your mind. That if you have a strong relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no space for waswasa in your heart. There is no space for shaitan to whisper into your heart. That this, the closer you get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you experience, for example, answered du'as. The more you experience true dreams. The more you experience the sweetness of faith. The more you experience iman highs. The more you experience maybe even miracles. And when these things happen, there is no room left for doubt in your life. So build that strong foundation of iman by doing a lot of good deeds. The stronger your relationship is with Allah, the less room there will be in your heart for doubts. So number one, we said, don't entertain the doubts. Number two, build a foundation of knowledge. Number three, build a foundation of worship. Number four, if you don't know, ask. If you don't know, ask. Now, unfortunately for some of us, we may be in places where we can't ask. You know, we may be in our families or in the local masjid that we go to, we're scared to ask. If you're scared to ask someone, find somebody else to ask. Alhamdulillah, we live in the age of the internet. You can access ulama from around the world through the internet. There are platforms to ask. And we have the right to ask. If something is bothering you, if you can't understand certain aspects of this religion, why did Allah allow this? Why did Allah prohibit that? If you can't understand these things, ask a person of knowledge. Sit with a person of knowledge and get your doubts answered. Don't keep it inside. Because when you keep it inside, shaitan is going to play with that thought and play with that thought and erode your iman through that thought. So find people of knowledge whom you trust, who are able to articulate the answers well, who are able to help you deal with these doubts, and be open and honest with them about these thoughts and let them help you work your way through it. Number five, the first step for dealing with doubts when they enter your heart is to doubt the doubt. It's to question the question. You see, too often, we accept the premise of what is being said when the premise itself is wrong. For example, so many times a young person will come to me and say, how can Islam be true? No, because Muslims are politically weak, so how can Islam be true? Well, that premise doesn't make sense. Political weakness has nothing to do with whether a religion is true or not. Where does that premise come from? The question itself doesn't make sense. Or how can Islam be true when it doesn't allow us, you know, to fornicate and drink alcohol? Again, the premise doesn't make sense. You are saying Islam is not true because it prohibits vices? You see, sometimes we are caught up in the society and the culture that we live in, and we automatically assume that whatever they say is right must be right, and whatever they say is wrong must be wrong. Maybe instead of doubting Islam, we should doubt the culture. Instead of doubting Islam, doubt the culture you are growing up in. The culture you're growing up in, if it tells you it's okay to fornicate, ask yourself, why does this culture say this? Is it right? You know, what are the harms of this? Maybe the culture got it wrong. The The culture we are growing up in today tells people it's okay to engage in all these deviancies. Yeah. And our religion prohibits it. And then the young people come and they say, you know, how can Islam be true if it prohibits these things? No, how can this culture be true if it allows these things? You see, we need to change the way we think. Instead of always going after our religion, why did our religion not allow us to do this? Why does it force us to do that? Go and look at the rest of the world and question everything else as well. Because very often, the only reason you think that this aspect of Islam is wrong is not because there's anything wrong with that aspect of Islam, but because there's something wrong with the culture that you are growing up in. And sometimes what we think is a problem with Islam is simply a matter of fact that we don't understand the way the world was or is anywhere else. You see, another problem we have is that we live in bubbles. And we think that the whole world throughout history is the same like the bubble we live in today. Right? So for example, many youngsters who are not familiar with Muslim history, they assume Muslims have always been politically weak and poor as they are today. And many of them are clueless of the fact that for over 1,000 years, the Muslims were a superpower in this world and the dominant civilization on earth. And had they just taken time to study their history, that doubt wouldn't even be there in the first place. There are other things like this as well. So for example, sometimes the youngsters get shocked when they learn about Sahaba getting married when they're 9 or 10 years old, or when they, you know, becoming fathers when they're 11 or 12 years old. They get shocked to read this. Like, how can this happen? This is wrong. Well, you feel it's wrong because we're growing up in the only time and place in history where that's not normal. Literally the only time and place in history where that's not normal. Go back 50 years or 100 years and it was normal. And I guarantee you in 50 or 100 years time, it'll probably be normal again too. But because we live in a bubble, we think the rest of history must equal and must be the same. And then we are shocked when we find history does not reflect the bubble that we live in. And therefore I say, when you get these doubts, doubt the doubt, question the question, question the premise, that maybe what I think is right is wrong. And again, this happens very often with young people, that we go through a phase in your late teenage years, early 20s, where you think you are right about everything. And you only realize 5 or 10 years later that you were wrong. Now, when that happens in your personal life or in your work life, you know, there are ways to rebuild. But when that happens with your understanding of the religion, it can be very dangerous. When you think you understand the right and wrong better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that can be very dangerous for the path that you're going to lead yourself down. So we need to have a bit of humility. We need to look back and say, maybe the premise from which I'm working is wrong. And really there's nothing wrong with the religion itself. So again, doubts are something shaitan will put into the hearts of everyone. Part of the purification of the soul is to fight off these doubts. The ways to do it is not to entertain it, to build a solid foundation of knowledge, to improve your spirituality and to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to ask the people of knowledge when you do not know, and to be critical of the dominant culture instead of being critical of Islam. To be critical of the dominant culture instead of being critical of Islam. We ask Allah to cement our iman in our hearts, to grant us yaqeen, to make us from the people of iman and the people of ihsan. Subhana rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Alhamdulillah wahda was salatu was salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da amma ba'd fa inna astaqal hadith kitabullah wa khayru hadi hadi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. We said one of the ways to fight out these doubts about Islam is to build a solid foundation of Islamic knowledge. And for many of us, we don't know how to do this. We don't know how to build a solid foundation of Islamic knowledge. And one of the problems we have is that we just take from everywhere. So we may listen to a lecture here, read a book there, see a 2-minute video somewhere else, and we feel this is knowledge. But that doesn't give you a solid foundation. That gives you scattered thoughts. That gives you a bit of this and a bit of that. A solid foundation comes from making a concerted effort to study the religion with a teacher. To sit with a teacher over a long period of time, following a curriculum, this is where you get your foundation. And this is something every Muslim needs to do. Whether it's a weekly halaqah, whether it's an online course, whether it's a structured program over the weekends, but everyone should have a teacher in their life, or multiple teachers in their life. And they should have a structured curriculum that they are studying, especially when it comes to the fundamentals of our religion. Because if we understand the fundamentals of our religion, a lot of things make sense that don't make sense if you don't know the fundamentals. There's so many points today where people come to me confused or shocked. And had they just gone back to the fundamentals, it would have made sense. For example, many people don't know the fundamentals of Muslim history. Right? They have this utopian idea that everything was perfect until the downfall of the Ottoman Empire. That when there was a Khilafah, it was just awliya everywhere, just pious people everywhere. They have this weird understanding of history because they've never read history. Then they open a history book and they read about Muslim kings killing their own brothers. They read about the zina, they read about the alcohol, they read about the civil wars, and their iman is shaken. Right? They're like, how can this be Islam? How can this be the Muslims? Had you just gone back to the basics and studied the foundation, that the foundations you would have learned to separate the people from the religion, to separate the actions of people from the foundations of this religion, that Islam is founded upon the Quran and Sunnah. It is the Quran, the Sunnah, the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is where perfection is found. Whatever came after the time of the Khulafa Rashideen, those are human beings. They would have made mistakes and committed sins, done good, done evil, everything, because those are human beings. They are not awliya, they are not prophets, they are normal people like us. And they had their faults and they had their good deeds. When you understand history from that perspective, the doubt is gone. You can read about the most bizarre things to have ever happened in Muslim history, from the cannibals to the other crazy people out there, and it's not going to shake your iman, because you know this doesn't reflect on Islam, this reflects on that person or that group of people only. So we have to learn to differentiate between, when it comes to history, we have to learn to differentiate between what is our religion, that is Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quran, the Sunnah, the Seerah, and what is Muslim human history, everything that came after that. Another example of where if you know the foundations, you won't have so much doubts. A lot of young people experience doubts about this religion because they feel the religion is too harsh, right? They say everything is haram and everything is wrong and this is too harsh, it's too much to follow. But if you go back to the foundations of our religion, back to the Quran and Sunnah, back to the earliest sources, to the principles of the four madhabs, you will find that one of the principles all of the madhabs share is that everything is halal until proven haram. That the original state of anything is permissibility. The original state of anything is permissibility. And that there are far more things that are halal than haram. When it comes to things that you can drink everything except that which is alcoholic. If you were to count what's halal in terms of what we can drink, you can't count it. It's in the thousands. And what's haram? Two or three things. The alcoholic drinks. Same with food. It's a handful of foods that are haram. You can count them in one hand, right? Pork, carrion, and a few others. And the types of food that are halal, everything else. Everything else that human beings are going to imagine and invent until the end of time, unless it includes these few ingredients. So the halal is a lot, and the haram is few. But if you don't know this fundamental, you can be very confused about your religion. And that confusion can either lead to extremism or it can lead to doubts about the religion. And very often when people say that this religion doesn't make sense because it's too harsh, it's not because there's something wrong with the religion. It's because you didn't have a strong foundation of knowledge. That had you had a strong foundation of knowledge, you'd have learned that this religion is the most practical religion on earth. Allah has only prohibited that which is harmful to us. And everything else He has left in halal. There are very few things that are haram, and those are only the things that are harmful to us and harmful to society. So this is why I say it's very important that we have a strong foundation of knowledge, and that this knowledge comes from the right sources. So every single Muslim, especially those who are young, especially those who are teenagers in their early 20s, from that time in your life, you must make an effort to have a teacher to guide you through life and to guide you through this religion. to have a teacher to teach you the basics and the foundations of this religion. Learn what are the basics of Islamic law. What are the foundations and the goals of Islamic law? What are the principles of studying history? How do I understand the Quran? How do I interact with the hadith? What do we take from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Sad to say, many Muslims don't even know the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many Muslims don't even know who the Khulafa Rashidin are. If our foundations are so weak, then of course doubts are going to creep in easily. So to summarize and conclude, we said that it is part of the weapons of Shaitan that he will put doubts into the hearts of the believers. And the way to fight these doubts is, number one, never to entertain it. Number two, to build a strong foundation of knowledge. Number three, to build a strong foundation of worship. Number four, to ask those who know if you do not know. And number five, to question the dominant narrative and rather than to only question the religion. And we said, when seeking knowledge, to make sure you build a strong foundation of knowledge, ensure you have good teachers who have a good curriculum. And who is a good teacher? A good teacher is someone who understands his religion and understands the world. A good teacher is someone who allows you to ask questions, who doesn't shame you and keep you quiet when you have questions, who understands you need to ask your questions, you need to have it answered. A good teacher is someone who will tell you, I don't know, let me check it out, rather than lying to you. A good teacher is someone who will tell you the truth, even if it is controversial, even if it is not politically correct. Find yourself good teachers. Keep righteous company. And this will, inshallah, help us to build a strong and solid foundation. I end with one last point. Don't underestimate the importance of spirituality in all of this. I found very often that when people start experiencing doubts about the religion, before experiencing doubts, they experience a lapse in their practice. So it's usually the person stops praying 5 times a day, or they stop observing hijab, or they let go of one of the fundamentals of the religion. When you let go of these fundamentals, you are weakening your iman. You are weakening the barrier between you and shaitan. And this makes it easier for shaitan to put these thoughts in your heart. This makes it easier for shaitan to mess with your mind. So to build a solid foundation, it's not just the knowledge, it's also the practice. And sometimes these days, too many of us, we do one without the other. We either practice without knowledge and we end up changing the religion, or we build knowledge and we don't practice, and we end up just being walking books without any actual spirituality and faith in us. We need both. A solid foundation is both. It is knowledge of the religion and it is a spiritual, proper, ikhlas-filled practice of the religion. And if we have this foundation, then inshallah shaitan cannot put any doubts into our hearts. And we're asking Allah to strengthen the iman of the youth, to strengthen the iman of the Muslim community, to make us all people of yaqeen and people of ihsan and people of conviction and people of sincerity, to protect our hearts from all of the vices around us and all of the evil ideologies around us. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما سبحان رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين أقيم الصلاة